Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms. When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? It's estimated over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
Los Angeles, City of Homeless, at 6 o'clock on Fox 11, a documentary, and I'll be in it a lot. So you should watch it, record it, view it later if you need to. But it's really good work that they've done over at
Fox 11. I'm sure it's balanced, right? They talk to homeless advocates. And
oh, yeah, it's a Fox 11 news documentary.
Yes.
Fair and balanced.
Fair and balanced. Yeah. So that's, 6 o'clock till 7:30. Coming up, some great stuff about San Francisco. Charles Barkley took a great shot at the city of San Francisco, and of course he got taunted by Warriors fans because he's picked the Mavericks to win this series, which isn't likely. But anyway, he shot back last night on the air. We have the audio to play. It's pretty funny. And something else is going on up there. You got to hear about it. May indicate a bit of a turnaround with some of the politicians in that city on big issues like the homeless and defund the police. It's all coming up later on this hour.
We're going to talk with Ed Ring. We've spoken to him before. Ed Ring analyzes everything about water in California.
He's with the California Policy Center, a contributing editor and a senior fellow at the California Policy Center, and he's been writing a series of articles for the California Globe about water abundance. It's kind of the way it's phrased, because in his viewpoint and many that he has talked to, it's not about water scarcity.
Much can be done to increase the amount of water that we can use. And instead, Newsom's running around insisting on water rationing. Well, let's get Ed Ring on here. Ed, how are you again?
I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Lay out your case that there's an abundance and not a scarcity of water in California.
Well, there's an abundance of water in California if we bother to harvest it and process it. There's ways to get millions of acre feet of water from wastewater recycling, millions of acre feet from stormwater capture, and we can also get a lot of water from desalination. Hundreds of thousands of acre feet. And when you consider that California cities altogether only use 7 to 8 million acre feet a year, this is something that can be solved. In fact, a lot of the Public Policy Research Institute, which is one of the most reputable expert sources of information on water, claims that on average, 11 million acre feet of what they call surplus water or uncaptured water during storms runs through the delta, 11 million acre feet in excess of what's necessary for the ecosystems. So if we were capturing some of that water in off-stream reservoirs or diverting that water into spreading basins so it could percolate and recharge aquifers, we could have plenty of water as well for the farms, which they themselves, yeah.
So we're managing our available water very, very badly here. That's the real crime that's going on, is our management is not intelligent.
That's right, because we built some of these tremendous assets back in the 1930s and 40s, and some more in the California Water Project, of course, in the 50s and 60s. And we still in California have one of the most remarkable, you know, plumbing systems of big water interbasin transfers in the world. But it was built for a population that's about half the size of what we've got today in California. And we haven't been investing in water supply infrastructure. All we've been doing is cracking down more and more on farms and cities. And that just can't go on. You can't ration your way to abundance. We have to invest in more water projects.
I understand the existence of these environmental groups, and they get fanatical. They're almost religious in their wishes to deny us our modern life amenities, even water. But what's in it for the government to create a system that doesn't work? I know they get environmentalists yelling at them, but what's in it for the government to just do what needs to be done for the people and ignore the crazies?
Well, you know, that's a really good question. I guess there's a few things. It takes away, if you invest state money in water infrastructure, you're going to be, you know, by their logic, cannibalizing other government programs. So that's part of it. Another part of it is all of the regulatory apparatus that you have to set up to regulate water creates more government programs, but it's sort of the wrong kind of government spending. But I think those are some of the reasons that we see this. There's also, though, you know, politicians supposedly run the government, and politicians are elected by donors. And if you have water scarcity, a lot of businesses thrive. We learned, you know, when we were trying to do this initiative to fund water projects, that some of the largest agribusiness concerns want water scarcity, because with high prices for water, it's going to drive the smaller farms out of business, and they can roll up the and consolidate the industry. We also learned that a lot of hedge funds are betting on expensive water because they're buying land for the water rights, and this is very well documented. And so these are big contributors to political campaigns. So there's pressure from parts of the business community as well to keep water expensive. Oh. And look at water utilities; they make money if they make it like electricity. The more they charge, they get a fixed percentage of profits as a regulated utility. So if they are able to charge more for the same amount, they make more absolute profit for their investors.
I've never heard anybody talk about this, about the business forces, the financial forces that want a scarcity of water and how much influence they have on our government.
Well, I think that's a big factor at work here. We had people that contacted us and said, "Why on earth would we want? Why would we want water to be inexpensive?" But some of the people that criticized us, it's funny. The Michael Hiltzak, writing for the Los Angeles Times, said that this was a giveaway to agribusiness. And then he turned around about 2 weeks later and wrote about how hedge funds are buying up water property for water rights, and there's going to be a market to trade water futures, and he was warning us. But you can't have it both ways. If you're going to have if you're going to privatize water, the best way to do that is by making water cost too much. So you would think that the liberals and the big government types would welcome the idea of having the state of California partially subsidize water supply projects, because that would bring the price of water down and it would remove the incentives for people to privatize our water supply.
All right, Edward, can you hang on?
Sure.
Okay. This is Edward Ring we're talking to. He's written a series of articles for CaliforniaGlobe.com about California and water abundance. He's with the California Policy Center, a contributing editor, senior fellow. He co-founded California Policy Center back in 2013 and was its first president. And he's done a lot. It's a long series of articles. So you ought to read them if you are really buying into this water scarcity drought thing being sold by Newsom and the rest of his cronies. We'll come back and talk to him because he kind of mentioned it there. There's apparently a ballot measure that they're trying to get out, the Water Infrastructure Funding Act of 2022. We'll talk about what's in it and more coming up.
John and Ken Caiafine. We continue with Ed Ring, co-founder of the California Policy Center. And he believes that there's a lot of water, an abundance of water in California for us to use if we only built the proper infrastructure to collect it.
And if you want to read his series of stories on this, because they're fascinating, it's CaliforniaGlobe.com where they're appearing. When I left, I said that we wanted to talk when we come back because the last one he did deals with the hostile media. He had mentioned the wonderful Michael Hiltzik, Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist for the Los Angeles Times, who doesn't like or care too much for Edward Ring's abundance of water theory. And Hiltzik apparently criticizes what's being proposed, a ballot measure, the Water Infrastructure Funding Act of 2022. Can you explain, Ed, what's in there, and should our listeners be interested?
I sure can, but I hope I didn't mislead you because we did not gather enough signatures to get that on the 2022 ballot. So you may be hopefully talking about a Water Infrastructure Funding Act for 2024. We're waiting to see if the legislature does anything to relieve the situation. But it's very hard to get an initiative onto the ballot. It costs at a minimum $5 million. And there's 186 billionaires living in California, and we didn't call every one of them. But it was, you know, there's a lot of people that ought to be, you know, and of course I'm sort of biased on this matter, but it seems like there's people with the ability to put an initiative on the ballot that could step up and do something like this. You know, where are the billionaires that are going to step up and help fix California when it comes to things like water and energy? But you know, that could be a little bit of sour grapes. The initiative that we came up with, I think, relied on a lot of ideas from other people that have tried different aspects of it in the past. But our goal was to do something so decisive that if it passed, and it would pass, by the way, after this blistering summer we're about to experience, voters would have voted and approved this measure if we'd gotten it on the ballot. It's funny because right when we were about at a critical point to raise the money we would have needed to qualify this for the ballot, it just poured. I mean, it just rained and rained and rained. And then it didn't rain anymore. So here we are. But it would have allocated 2% of the state general fund every year to invest in increasing California's water supply with water supply projects. And it didn't define the projects. It defined the eligible categories. So the Water Commission could still choose where to put the money, but it would have to be in effect until 5 million acre feet of new water would be getting produced, either yields from off-stream reservoirs or produced from wastewater recycling or desalination plants or aquifer recharge from storm runoff. It didn't matter. They could choose whatever categories they wanted to fund projects as long as they get 5 million acre feet of new water. And that would solve the problem. That would create surpluses in even mild drought years. So there would be plenty of water. There would be water as well for environmental purposes, which I don't think was appreciated nearly enough. But, you know, it's really pretty simple. One of the things, however, was we also revised, and we felt, and we did this very carefully, but we did make reasonable revisions to the Coastal Act and to the California Environmental Quality Act. And those two things, there was three unforgivable sins. One, we included reservoirs as an eligible project. Two, we included desalination as an eligible project. And three, we tried to revise some of these regulations that make it impossible to build anything. It takes millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, and decades to get projects approved. You go through the permit process, and by the time you've gone halfway through it, all the rules have changed, and the rules conflict with each other, and there's dozens of agencies that you have to go before, and there's hundreds of environmental organizations willing to litigate. So you can't build anything in California until we fix these regulations.
Does this explain why all those bond measures for water projects have just resulted in very little?
Yes, that's exactly right. There's nothing that's been done for the most important projects approved by voters in 2014. The signature project was the site's reservoir. It was supposed to have a storage capacity of 2 million acre feet. It would have had a yield of 500,000 acre feet a year. That's been on the drawing board for 8 years. And over that 8-year period, to appease all of the litigants and to comply with all the rules, they downsized it now to 1.5 million acre feet. One and a half million acre feet. They've also taken out all of the pump storage for all of this renewable
energy.
Can I just ask you something?
Why are they doing everything they can to limit the amount of water that we can access? What's in it for them, for the state to have less water?
Well, I think a lot of them sincerely believe that anything you do to disrupt the environment is unacceptable. I think a lot of them also believe that a middle-class lifestyle is simply unsustainable. A lot of them believe that we shouldn't have irrigated farmland in the San Joaquin Valley because it's, I'm quoting, because it's a desert.
We can't live? What they're saying is we can't grow food? We can't have homes?
Yeah.
We're not supposed to drive to work? What are we allowed to do? I don't really understand this. We're all supposed to die, and they're trying to kill us by cutting off our water.
There's a mentality that human beings are parasites on the planet. I mean, no one comes right out and says that. Actually, some of them do. But that's the mentality that just has to be broken. Civilization has a footprint.
How did they get all the power? Because I don't know anybody like this. Everybody I know wants to own a house, they want to drive to work, and they want somebody to grow food for them. Who are these people that don't want us to live anymore?
Well, I think some of the donors to these environmental organizations, and they'll never say this, but I think some of them don't want to see California's population grow very much, if at all. They want to kind of keep things the way they are. I think a lot of the billionaire donors, and there's plenty of them, that support these environmentalist organizations believe, as I said, that a middle-class lifestyle is not sustainable, and they truly believe that.
These people made billions of dollars, and they want to stop the rest of us from having a middle-class lifestyle.
Correct. You know, the thing is, it's wrong. I mean, California, if any place in the world, if any culture in the world can figure out how to use how to create a desalination plant that doesn't hurt the ocean, we can. You know, the Israelis desalinate over 500,000. They're on track to desalinate 1 million acre feet a year on the coast of the Mediterranean where there's no current. You know, this is a really good example worth talking about a little bit, because their California current moves 250 trillion gallons a day across the Southern California coast. And they talk about 55 million gallons a day of desalination brine from the Huntington Beach plant. That's 1/5 millionth of the flow.
That's a drop.
You know, if you know anything about toxicology, you know, and it's just slightly saltier water that's being discharged by a desalination plant into a current that's the only current in the world that's bigger is the Gulf Stream. They are doing this on an order of magnitude greater scale in Israel where there's no current. They're doing it into the Eastern Mediterranean.
All right, Ed, we have to go, but we really appreciate talking to you. Thanks for your input. People can follow his articles at CaliforniaGlobe.com on water abundance. Edward Ring with the California Policy Center. Thanks for coming on. Okay, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
All right, we're going to go for a few minutes to one of our favorite places in California, San Francisco. We're coming up in June. There will be a recall vote on the San Francisco District Attorney, Chesa Boutin.
13 days until he's gone.
And according to polls, it's going to happen. Now, we just got to make it happen here with George Gascon. Go to recalldageorgegascon.com.
I think when
sign the petition.
When Boudin goes down, that's going to give a big jolt to the Gascon effort. People are going to realize that if San Francisco did it, we could do it. And we're doing. So, they're doing well. The Gascon people are doing really well, but I think this will put it over the top.
So the latest person to call out San Francisco is none other than Hall of Famer, NBA commentator, and former NBA player Charles Barkley. He's a member of the TNT studio inside the NBA cast. They're covering the playoffs between the Golden State Warriors and the Dallas Mavericks. Last night in Dallas, during Game 4, there was a delay. It was a rain delay, but it's an indoor arena. Well, apparently it had a leaky roof, so they had to stop play for a while.
That's their new arena, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
It's not that new.
No?
No.
American Airlines, is it?
Within the last 20 years.
Oh, it was in Dallas. Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking the San Francisco arena is new.
Yes, the San Francisco arena is new.
Right.
The game is in Dallas.
The game's in Dallas, right. I see.
That's right. Game 4.
I think of San Francisco, I think of rain.
I understand that. And Barkley, of course, has been having his little feud with Warrior fans because he's been yelling, "Go Mavs," and they've been yelling, "F you." The biggest thing he said was he turned around and said, I'm going to all your houses and bleep your mamas. Anyway.
He said that?
He did, yes. Yeah. Yeah. So this is what he said last night during the rain delay about San Francisco.
You know the bad thing about all this rain? It's not raining in San Francisco to clean up those dirty streets they got there.
Say it again,
they need a clean San Francisco, you know, it's a great city. But all that dirtiness and homelessness, y'all, man, y'all gotta clean that off the streets. I wish it, because it's raining like hell down here.
Look, that looks beautiful.
No. You go three blocks over.
The Pacific Ocean is right there.
Go three blocks over by our hotel. Go three blocks over by our hotel. It's raining so hard down here. San Francisco needs a good washing.
That place was Thrive City where we did the show.
Well, that's a good part of San Francisco. Unfortunately, TNT put us in the bad part of the city.
He just doesn't care.
He'll be back there for game five.
He doesn't care.
No, he doesn't. Stuff just comes out. Now, meanwhile, this development in San Francisco, which may be a small glimmer of hope against the woke, the mayor of San Francisco, London Breed, said that she will not take part in the annual San Francisco Pride Parade because they decided this year that if the police department and the fire department is going to participate, they cannot wear their uniforms. We're concerned about a level of intimidation that they could have on other attendees in the parade.
So they want to keep the gay cops and the gay firefighters out of the parade in uniform.
They wanted to keep anybody from the police and fire department that wanted to be in the parade. There are non-gay San Francisco police and fire that march to show support.
Right, right. But there's got to be some.
They're not allowed to be in uniform was the rule this year.
Boy, that is really discriminatory and exclusionary.
So the police department said no thanks then. And now the mayor is saying, I'm not going to participate either. That's ridiculous.
Man, the woke people.
Because it could be a trigger. I use that word, but that's how I interpret.
Oh, yeah. No, that's absolutely right.
That's where this has gone. At least the mayor, who you consider the mayor of the wokest city, saying, oh, come on, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, she's had her moments in the last few months. I don't know if they're fake or if they're real, but occasionally she's blurted out some unpleasant truths about the city. And she's making these wokesters unhappy. So what do you know? Intolerant wokesters. Wokesters who are not inclusive.
Well, they're anti-police and defund the police, so they don't want the police involved in their event, and that's how they would make it known, by wearing their uniform.
Right.
Otherwise, so you don't know their police, you don't know their fire.
They don't want their support, and they don't want the gay cops and the gay firefighters to be showing that they're members of the department. Boy, they have gotten so extreme and radical. Everybody's so sick now. Everybody's just so sick and hateful.
Everybody takes a stand that gets more and more absurd.
I'm so tired of hearing about these people. They've exhausted everybody. They really have. And that's why Chesa Boudin is going to be a big shock.
Hopefully that'll be a big dump.
It's going to be a big dump. It's got to be signaling the end of this era. It really
does. I mean, they were called those board members, so the school board members.
Right, right. Yeah, that was the first shot they fired, and Boudin will be the second shot. It's got to come to an end here.
All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
All right, yeah, coming up at 6 o'clock, right? You.
Oh, that's right. That's right, I forgot.
Last reminder, because we're going off.
Okay, 6 o'clock, Fox 11, and they have a documentary called Lost Angeles, City of Homeless, and it's a 90-minute special on what's going on in Los Angeles. And I'm a big part of it. We had Alex Michelson on, their lead anchor, last hour. So I would tell you right now to turn it on and be ready. And if you can't watch it, you got to run out somewhere, record it. It's going to be worth viewing.
Yes, I just set up the recorder to watch it because I don't think I can watch it live. Besides, there's commercials.
I have it recorded at home because I'm not going to be home until.
But Alex gave you, though, a nice tongue bath. That was nice. When he was on it for
I rarely get those. It felt good.
Hey, you got a really good tongue back.
Yeah, well.
Tell us. I'm reading a great column, New York Post, Maureen Callahan, Our Greatest Public Health Crisis, The Angry Young American Male. She actually says, sure, go with your gun control. The idea that someone not old enough to vote can legally purchase assault rifles is insane. But we have a more complicated crisis to address. And, of course, she's got their pictures. Going back to the Virginia Tech shooter, all of these angry young men, she talks about the incel culture. They become isolated. She says, only in America. No other country suffers the sickness but us. America, land of milk and honey, born here and you're born on third base, yet we're cultivating a cohort. Young men hell-bent on killing our children. It's a malignancy in our culture, and it continues to metastasize.
And it didn't exist in our culture before. Just take relatively recent years.
Yeah, I was going to say Columbine is 1999, so you got to go back more than 25 years, probably.
50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, into the 90s, there was no such thing. So something happened in our culture, and all these young men, boys, feel alienated and angry to an extreme degree, because if it was just a certain percentage of mental illness, it should be constant in society all along. So why is it suddenly occurring now?
Well, she points out correctly that with the advent of social media and the digital age, they're now connecting with online threads to other people that feel the same way, and they get revved up.
Yeah. Oh, that's a huge part of it. That's a huge part of it, and
that's what the Buffalo shooter said, dude. That's it. We got to do something now.
They feel like they're part of a resistance army.
They do,
and they're going to square all the. I mean, their parents ignored them. All the other kids did. The teachers, the girls, everybody ignored them. Everybody insulted them, bullied, disrespected. They're weird to begin with. They invite a lot of this.
She writes that the incel community, misogyny is too tame a word for what the group espouses, blaming as they do women for denying them sex and love. They advocate rape, the elimination of women's rights, and mass shootings. That's a nice combination.
Can you imagine the relationships these guys had with their mothers? Something really went awry there.
I mean, think that's what would help? A better bonding with mothers?
Something is wrong.
There may be fathers, so they respect women and respect.
Yeah, that too.
Frustrated because they can't get a date and nobody seems to love them. A lot of
the hostility they write is about women. And, you know, your mother is the woman in your life for a long time, early on. And that's where these things develop.
Yeah. She writes that it's all too easy for a boy or a young man, the frontal cortex not mature until at least age 25, to plug into a self-selecting group online and share gruesome fantasies, hear or issue encouragements to rape, kill, or commit mass shootings. Ideations that some may consider meaningless and others imperative. You see, that's the thing. There's a lot of guys in these forums. They're not going to kill anybody. But as you can see, it just takes a few of these young guys to create havoc and horror around the country. I mean, one mass shooting to kill 19 children, that's horrific. That's why she's trying to say there's got to be a way to reach them. She thinks they should turn this into like a... They should be tracking this. They should like trying to eradicate COVID with the vaccine. She says we ought to treat it that way. We ought to be coming up with a plan to treat this.
No, I agree. It's what we were talking about yesterday. You can't just sit here. It's like the homeless situation. Whatever we're doing is not working. Whatever your pet theory is, it's not working.
And she writes, avoidable. That shooter was waving every red flag an imminent school shooter possibly could, holding up in his locked bedroom 3 months prior, windows blacked out with garbage bags, enthusiastically writing to a pro-mass murder online community, a history of openly fantasizing about killing children, yet was never properly treated. And that she's talking about Adam Lanza. She's talking about there,
The guy
the Connecticut shooter.
All right, so is there anybody interested in starting that movement? Instead of just screaming the stale old cliches at each other, who's interested in starting this movement? And you have to go directly to the source. You have to go to the lonely, weird kid who's in his room right now. And you know what they're all doing is they're all analyzing what happened yesterday in Texas. And they're all praising him, critiquing him, using new information to maybe help them in their shooting. I mean, you'd think there'd be some kind of law enforcement agency all over all these chat rooms right now, because the next killer, which could happen tomorrow or in a week, is in those chat rooms. We know where they are.
And maybe there's a way, not necessarily locking them all up, which is what you've been advocating, but trying to reach them with some sort of help. I don't know.
I think
it's idealistic.
I think you'd have to lock them up to help them. They're not going to volunteer.
Maybe it's both, yeah.
All right, Conway's here.
Hey now, we'll have. I still can't believe that 18-year-old who shot these and killed these kids yesterday was in that school for 40 to 60 minutes. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, 19 kids have been killed, but it could have been a lot worse in 40 to 60 minutes. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been dozens more.
Yeah, exactly. California's moving towards allowing lawsuits over illegal guns. We'll have that. Also, Angel Stadium will not be sold after Anaheim City Council voids the agreement. Elon Musk is committing another $6.25 billion towards his Twitter bid. And then Gary Hoffman from the Gary and Shannon Show is coming on at 7 o'clock to talk about their big remote tomorrow. So,
all right, that's exciting. Yeah,
something for everybody, right?
I don't think it's tomorrow.
I think it is tomorrow, isn't it? Is tomorrow Friday? Friday.
It's Friday.
I think it's Friday.
Why do I keep thinking today's Thursday?
See, there's a sign right behind
it's Wednesday.
Where is it?
See,
there's a sign behind you.
News and Brews Friday.
I thought today was Thursday.
No,
it's still Wednesday.
Wait, it's Wednesday?
It's Wednesday. Oh,
it is. Sorry about that, Bub.
Maybe you crossed the date line?
No, I think. Oh, that's why I got a parking ticket today.
Well, if you did, tell us what happens tomorrow.
That would be great.
What's it look like?
Yeah.
Ding dong.
It'll be beautiful. Just beautiful. All right. Ding dong.
And John is not coming on in 5 minutes on
Fox 11.
Right. Ignore that.
Yeah, they canceled that.
They postponed it.
Lack of interest.
We've got Crozier with the news.
Yeah, ding dong.
Come on.
KFI, KFC, HD2, Los Angeles, Orange County, live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app. It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.